And in this segment, my friends, we will speak with a regular guest on this show and other shows, Dr. Ron L. Fineman from Boca Raton, Florida, discussing one of the many brain-stimulating articles that he's written for publications across this great land. As I say, let's see if I've properly patched in the cables, pressed the right buttons, soldered and spliced. I think I hear him giggling in the background, so I'll stop wondering if I've soldered yes. and spliced and say good morning, Ron. How are you on this lovely late day in May 2018?
Good morning, Adam. I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Oh, well, about a week and a half from being 1 year older. My birthday is approaching 6-1.
Wow, birthday is beginning of June, right?
Yeah, 6-1-18 is the anniversary of my womb exit, as they say.
Wow. Womb exit. That's a new way of putting it.
Actually, my mom said I was about 10 days late. So actually, my birthday is kind of like this week. It depends how you look at it. But she said I was about 10 days yeah. late. But that's okay, I guess.
Well, gave you 10 more days to come out with a billion lines, right?
Yeah, I was. I guess I was worth the wait.
Yes.
I promise I'll be worth the wait, like Janet Jackson said.
Yes.
You write articles for many publications. You appear on this station, on Blog Talk Radio, and who knows where else. You even find time to teach and sign a book or two, as your current book, very
and
popular,
lecture.
About presidential assassinations, is in paperback, available at a bookstore near you. Yes, people still read, at least the geeky intellectual people that I know, but I'm not sure if that would apply to everybody. A recent article, Ron, that
Donald Trump has not read a book in 50 years since he graduated on May 20th of 1968, and he claims he's so brilliant, and yet somehow he did not have any honors when he graduated from Wharton at the University of Pennsylvania.
Well, I know we talk about Donald Trump a lot, but since you brought him up, we might as well touch on this tidbit. Now, Ron, I don't want to be too personal, but you were married at one time. What was your wife's name again?
Adria.
A-D-R-I-A.
Okay.
Did you ever accidentally call her Andrea or something similar to Adria, or did you always get her name right?
I always got a name right. I always spelled it correctly. And yet he went ahead and he used an E instead of an A for Melania, which is unbelievable.
Interestingly, Adria, kind of like Melania, is a variation of a more common female name. But you're telling me you batted 100,000. You never called her anything but her proper name.
Never called her anything but her proper name, but never misspelled her name either. You're correct.
And she never called you Randy or Don or something which sounds like Ron. She always called you the proper name, right?
Correct.
However, it seems like the President of the United States of America is not quite so precise in his nomenclature for his spouse. And apparently he, and something which has been going around the internet a lot and gathered a lot of laughs, including from yours truly. And I think you giggled a few times there, Ron, and as have Monique, yes. your student who follows you online and other people that we hang with in a virtual sense. He referred to Melania as Melanie. Now, I'm not quite sure why. Do you think maybe he has trouble pronouncing Melania, or was it a slip? What's up with that? I mean, you're a good case in point. I honestly didn't even know what your ex-wife's name was, and it's interesting, a little bit ironic. Her name is also, like Melania, a name which is similar but different from a more common female name, but you never messed up her name. How can a person, especially, I mean, as good of a wife as Melania is, I mean, she's a great mother, and she's obviously very easy on the eyes. How could Donald Trump possibly mess up her name? What do you think happened?
Well, the thing is, you got to remember, this is a man who did not buy his wife a birthday gift. He did not visit her in the hospital every day, some days this week. The man is unbelievable. I mean, every day he gets worse. I mean, you think, how low can he go in character? And he gets worse every day. It's like, how can this be possible? But it's happening. There is no explanation why he should misspell. And if he's using his Twitter, he's supposed to check before you send. If you know, you can obviously you can make a mistake when you use your finger, but you have to check before you send it. So
yeah, well, you know, my mom always told me to think before I talk, and now you think before you tweet. Unfortunately, my mother passed away well before Twitter was even invented, or before I think even the programmers at Twitter were even born. But anyway, I think she would be saying, yeah, think before you tweet. Think before you press the submit button. It definitely will serve you well. But do you think maybe between...
And also think before you speak, where you say outrageous, horrible things.
Ron, like do you think maybe between Melania's hospital stay, I guess he didn't visit her either, and her birthday that he didn't acknowledge, maybe he just forgot her name and just was kind of trying to guess, figuring if it started with an M, and he figured Melanie was a good guess?
I have no understanding of how his mind works, but no other president that we've ever heard of ever had these kind of miscues. It's just beyond belief. It really is. You know, it's not a question people say, oh, you're always criticizing. What is there not to criticize? That's the issue.
So this has probably never happened. For example, George Washington never called his wife Martha, never called her Marcia, and Gerald Ford never called his wife Betsy instead of Betty. They always got the names right.
But remember, that's funny, you know, the way you're saying it, though.
But, you know, Tricky Dicky, yeah, his wife went by either Pat or Tricia, right? Or Trish. Didn't she have multiple nicknames?
I think Pat. Tricia was the daughter, you know.
Right, but
Tricia's his daughter. Yeah.
Right, but it's the same name. It's all Patricia, right? So maybe she...
Yes.
So I guess in that case, maybe. And, you know, Melania and Melanie are similar. But it's... you would think your own wife... Especially a wife as fine as Melania, he'd at least have enough respect to call her by the proper
yes,
nomenclature. So
yeah, I must say, my wife used to complain. People used to call her Andrea. I never did, but some people thought because Andrea is a more common name than Adria, Adria. So she used to say she was always having teachers calling her Andrea, and she had to correct them. So that I, you know, but again, if it's your wife, how could you do that?
I mean, I will say that there are people, and I'm not talking about a spouse, just people that know me casually who call me Alan or Andy or something that's similar to Adam.
Really?
But you're talking about a wife, someone who carried your son. And they've been married like, you know, 12, 13 years. So not sure about that. I mean, it is amusing. I don't think it's something we should berate the president about, but it just kind of shows he can be a bit careless. And when you're president, every syllable that comes out of your mouth is going to be scrutinized.
And not only word, but action. He's very careless. That's the danger. He's careless in word and in action.
Right. But he is humorous, though. We certainly acknowledge
that. He's great comedy for Saturday Night Live. There's no question.
Now, recent article, getting back, of course, always getting off on a tangent, but that was just amusing enough to do, published in History News Network. And the headline is, 19 presidents in a row promoted social and environmental programs to benefit ordinary Americans, and then came Donald Trump. Now, as listeners know, Ron, from listening to our talks and your talks with Scott and other famous people or non-famous people, you are a Democrat. You're not, you're more of a mainstream, traditional type Democrat, but it doesn't mean that you don't think that there are Republicans that do a good job and have done a good job. And like me, you don't when you go to the voting booth, and of course, being in Florida with those hanging chads and the way they do elections there. In Ohio, we have they're kind of like iPads. We have touch pads. We're kind of fancy here. But whatever you do when you go to the voting booth, you don't necessarily vote just because he or she has a D by his or her name. You do look at the candidate.
That's correct.
And that's certainly good. I mean, there are Republicans that are good and Democrats that aren't. Bottom line is, you've taken a look at all the recent presidents, and there have been Republicans and Democrats. Presidents that I know you're not overly fond of, for example, the second George Bush. Presidents that you are fond of, both Roosevelts, for example. The first George Bush, you definitely have a higher opinion of, and Ford. So anyway, you've taken every president and taken a look at their accomplishments. And there are some of the accomplishments I wasn't even aware of. But again, you are the official presidentologist of WWGH. That's not surprising. And then you conclude by taking a look at Donald Trump's accomplishments. And that's kind of a very short section, because you're saying there really aren't any, except for negative accomplishments. Just taking a look at the list. And what I want to do, Ron, is look at the presidents who you probably didn't see eye to eye with on a lot of issues. And we can start with Ronald Reagan. You know, we both admire him as a man. We thought he was had a great sense of humor, a good leader. You know, we admire his long career in politics, and he was a great actor too. But yeah, again, some of his policies, you and I don't exactly see eye to eye with him on. But you do mention that in cooperation with the then Speaker of the House, Thomas Tip O'Neill, Reagan reformed Social Security to provide for its long-term survival. Also, something which doesn't seem as big nowadays, but it was big at the time, and I do think it is an important milestone. He appointed the first woman to the Supreme Court, Sandra Day O'Connor. So multiple accomplishments. And as we've talked about before, he certainly had an involvement. You know, we're not even in agreement as to how much, but an involvement of some kind with the change in government over in Russia and, I guess, perestroika. So many things that occurred during Reagan's eight-year term as president of the United States of America. George W. Bush promoted the No Child Left Behind Education Act, approval of the Medicare Prescription Drug Benefit Part D, and he protected rare species in Hawaii by establishing the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands National Monument. So with that stuff in mind, Ron, some recent presidents in our lifetime. Why don't you share with our listeners what Trump has done, or what has he done, do you think, that has turned some of the stuff backwards?
Well, he's backed up on the environment with his EPA head, Scott Pruitt, and his Secretary of the Interior, Ryan Zinke. They're trying to reverse everything that's been done environmentally since Theodore Roosevelt's time by both Republican and Democratic presidents. They're in the process of trying to destroy the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau set up under Barack Obama, and that's a disgrace as well. They're obviously working to undermine the education system, with the Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, favoring charter schools and private schools and religiously based schools over public schools, which is an outrage. So that's a third one. And then, of course, the whole issue of health care, they're out to destroy Obamacare, which still exists, but they have no alternative to it. And he doesn't seem to really care about that. He also is showing no concern about what's happening to these children, the DACA kids, as we call them, who came here through no fault of their own and now are in danger of being deported. That's just a beginning. There is nothing he has done other than the fact that, you know, that the upper class got a big tax cut, which mostly benefits them and the corporations. What else has happened domestically? I'm not even talking about foreign now. I'm talking about domestic. That's what this article is about in History News Network. What has he done that's positive in domestic affairs? And the answer is nothing.
I'm taking a look at some other presidents, and we discussed my birthday. Well, not going to mention which birthday, because the number, I don't think Donald Trump can count that high. So we won't even mention what birthday is coming up.
His birthday is June 14th, by the way. He'll be 72 on June 14th.
Well, he's older than me, but not much. Anyway. and of course, June 14th is Flag Day, I believe.
That sort of fits in perfectly, doesn't it? In a way.
Anyway.
Because he loves to talk about patriotism, but he also evaded the draft.
In case those are wondering, the president who sat in the Oval Office when I exited my mama's womb was Lyndon Baines Johnson. Interestingly, Ron, he has one of the biggest paragraphs of accomplishments in your article. And you think, as someone who was born when he was in the Oval Office, I would know more about him, but you know, I was kind of young back then and didn't really watch the news as much as I do now. We talked about diversification of Supreme Court justices. And Johnson appointed the first black justice. It was a man, Thurgood Marshall. And now we have several women on the Supreme Court. Sotomayor, Elena Kagan. And, of course, previously we had Sandra Day O'Connor. So it's good to see the Supreme Court.
And Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Don't forget Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Right. Just reflect.
RBG, the new documentary is out about her. RBG. She's a real hit now. You know, she's very popular among young people.
Yeah, she's definitely a good one. I admire Sotomayor also. She's kind of outspoken. And you tell she's very bright. You know, she's definitely someone who will say what is needed. And she's a sharp cookie, as my mama used to say.
And she's 85 and has had cancer twice in 1999 and 2009 and has recovered. And here she's 85 now.
But
amazing.
We certainly would agree that, and this comes up with juries of your peers, the Supreme Court, its demographics should reflect the demographics of the United States. It shouldn't be all white men, because this country is not all white men. So it's good to have diversity. And I think we need a little further to go, but we're definitely taking some major steps. And again, those steps started around the time that I was born, with Lyndon Johnson appointing Justice Thurgood Marshall. Also, Lyndon Johnson established Medicare and Medicaid. Comprehensive reform of the immigration system. I wonder if Donald Trump read the article and what he had to think about that. He increased financial aid to education and declared a war on poverty.
And the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Act also, of course.
Eisenhower presided over the creation of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. Harry Truman extended the New Deal, which he called the Fair Deal, used executive orders to end segregation in Washington, D.C., and in the military. So many, many accomplishments, and we take a look at how things have changed. Again, just over 50 years ago, the first black Supreme Court justice, and now we have three women who are active, and formerly Justice O'Connor. So we definitely are moving toward the, and this, what I believe, the correct thing to do with the Supreme Court diversity, which is more reflective of our population as a whole. Now, on almost every show, Ron, we talk about when we think the Trump administration may be coming to a conclusion. And again, sometimes we have to modify that originally forecast date. But when the Trump presidency ends, whenever that is, what do you think will be his legacy of accomplishments? Or will it just be a blank section? I mean, you have 12 lines worth of the stuff that happened during the Johnson administration. And again, many things also during the recent administration of Obama. But will there be anything you think that will be part of the Trump legacy?
Well, a lot depends on when he leaves. Originally I thought it would be before Zachary Taylor's 492 days, which is May 27th, and now today it's already May 22nd. So obviously I was not correct on that. But I did say I thought that he would probably be leaving in the next year in a month, which would match Warren G. Harding, was the fourth shortest, of all people, Warren G. Harding, the fourth shortest. So if he lasts close to a year, which I think could be the way things are going, it could be, maybe we'll get some good development with North Korea, but now I don't know after what's happened with North Korea seemingly backing off. But if he can accomplish an agreement on the Korean Peninsula, that would be a big positive thing in foreign policy. As far as domestic, at this point, I can't see anything else. That's about the only one I can see possible. But, of course, he could also end up unleashing nuclear war or starting a conventional war with North Korea instead if he doesn't get what he wants. And that could be, of course, make Trump even more of a disaster. So it's very hard to predict. But at this point, I don't see anything positive that will have a real good effect on the majority of the American people.
Well, we shall see, as they say. That's part of the fun of politics and news. You never quite know what's going to happen. And just when you think you've figured things out, a curve or two is thrown.
Yeah, let me join in here to say, the saying is, cheer up, things could be worse. In this case, we'll cheer up and things probably will be worse.
Yes, at least I call you Ron, not Randy, or goodness sakes, not Don. Now, if I called you Don, that probably would be a little insulting. So at least I would pick a name that sounds like Ron, but isn't the name of a certain person that we probably talk about a little too much on this show, but, you know, it's good to...
Yeah, imagine if I called you Adolf instead of Adam.
That would certainly that would certainly increase the blood pressure by a few points. But, you know, you can call me Aaron or Alan or Andy or something similar to Adam, I guess.
But I was going by the AD part, so Adolf is closer to Adam than those A names you mentioned.
Correct. Well, that's okay. I mean, as long as I know that I'm being summoned, I guess there are worse things that could happen than your name being flubbed. Anyway, I do want to wish Melania Trump, guess we have her name proper, speedy recovery from her kidney procedure. And again, I wished her a happy birthday online. I think you saw that. And if her husband's not going to do that, I guess I will.
Yes.
And thanks again, Ron, for being with us on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Always a stimulating...
Thank you so much again for inviting me. I really enjoyed it.
Always
a number of good laughs.
A stimulating discussion. Again, I'm glad we could tickle not only a few brain cells, but also the funny bone. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.